The Real Estate Hour, the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay. Heard every Sunday morning right here on KSRO for over 35 years. Hosted by Allison Norman and Stephanie Norman, local realtors with local real estate experience, bringing you market updates, industry insights, and tips for homebuyers and sellers, plus community information and local guests. The Norman Home Team, a mother-daughter real estate team with Keller Williams Realty Wine Country. DRE license number 0172-0334 and 0220-9237. And now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning.
Good
Sunday.
Morning.
Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. And for those of you who either can't celebrate Mother's Day or for other reasons.
Yeah. It's
our hearts are with you.
Yeah. So, you know,
it can be a tough day for some, for sure.
It can.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm struggling with my chair.
Oh, we got new chairs in the studio. I'm like, what is this? Anyway. Hi.
Hi.
I hope you got that on the video.
We did.
I pushed the chair out of the way and it didn't roll like it was supposed to. And
it fell over.
Not with me on it, thank God. But anyway, but now I'm sitting too low. There we go. Gosh, change is hard. Change is hard after all these years. They got new chairs. Oh, anyway, welcome and good morning. And yes, you're right. There is, you know, we are absolutely, you know, love celebrating Mother's Day and all the moms out there. Mm-hmm. But just a reminder, it is kind of tough. It's tough on Father's Day, too. You know, so some people have a strained relationship with their mother. Some people don't have, you know, their parent or mom left in on this earth. As like me, my mom passed away in 2020. Mm-hmm. So it's always a little, it's kind of melancholy.
Those moms who have lost or can't have.
Right. So it can be a tough day. So
give the
people out there a little grace that are struggling.
Yes, our hearts are with everybody today, whether you're a mom or...
Yeah. But also, it's okay to celebrate.
Yes, let's celebrate all the moms.
It's okay to celebrate your mom and
and
yourself as a mom and all that. And in honor of Mother's Day, we are going to put a little bit of a Mother's Day spin on the Real Estate Hour today and talk about really a couple of different things that all kind of tie together. But, you know, there's a lot of interesting psychological, I guess, or you know, statistical information that really looks at how women and men choose a home differently, and especially if it's a mom that's, you know, looking and there's a whole different, and we want to be careful not to generalize this, you know, because there's a lot of crossover, but anyway, it's interesting how there's kind of a little bit of a different thought process when a mom is buying a home versus when a father or dad, you know, or just a man versus a woman buying a home, we're different creatures, different type. We too, as much as we are the same, we also have some big differences. And so anyway, we're going to talk about that. But then also, you know, the growing trend for multi-generational housing, you know, putting and adding an ADU and bringing mom home, you know, or the family compound's a big thing. There's some interesting, there's some tiny home, like RV temporary housing, things that are allowed for specific reasons, one of them being to have a caregiver on site, you know, and maybe adding a tiny home or an RV with a temporary use permit. Then there's this really interesting in the Permit Sonoma website about cottage housing, and that's a whole new trend and something that the county is allowing. But then, you know, we've talked a lot about ADUs, and we had Tricia Guido talking about ADUs and all of that, but we wanted to kind of look at what's the difference if you're buying an ADU and it with some land. You know, you're buying buying a house and you want to add additional housing. There's a whole other bunch of rules and regulations around that, and just like everything with land and housing, or I mean in buying houses on land. And people go, I'm going to buy a little piece of land. I'm going to put a few houses on it. You know, all my family's going to come live with me and all of that. And we've seen that, in fact, with one of our listings right now. It's in escrow now in Sebastopol. But she had originally bought it because she wanted to build some additional housing and have our kids all live there, and they're all that's not really what we want, though, you know. Yeah. So there's that piece of it, you know. So all of that we're going to talk about, and that's kind of going to be our Mother's Day spin on real
and
estate.
And then we have market updates. We're going to look back at last month, what happened last month in the market,
our usual look at real estate, what's currently active on the market,
and then what happened in
April.
Yes, and then we have an event that we were going to talk about. I don't know if we want to mention that.
Yeah, let's talk about that now so that we can, yeah.
Yeah, so let me find exactly where that event is, because I'm not
sure. So there's an organization that puts on these free events, and one thing we wanted to mention, it is National Wildfire Prevention Month.
Yes, that's a good one.
It's also National Brain Tumor Awareness Month as well, and some other
thing,
I'm
sure,
too.
There's other things.
I think it's maybe autism
it
awareness.
Might be.
Yeah. Anyway, this organization, emergencyprephelp.org, I believe, is their website, if you just Google emergency prep help, but they have these events for seniors, emergency prep help for seniors part one. They do planning, alerts and warnings, evacuation safety, free go bags. They give you a free go bag, a little backpack with all the stuff that
nice.
You need to grab and go, and then a list of, you know, checklists of things that you should have ready, earthquake readiness. And then they have the second part with talk about supplies, securing documents, car preparation, pet safety, and 211 resources. The first one, and the reason we wanted to talk about it today, is the first one of this two-part series is from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on the 14th, May 14th. And then the second one is May 28th, same time. And I don't... Did you have the link to that? I don't see where it is, but we'll get you that information. But if you go to emergencyprephelp.org.
Yes, and we'll be sure to post it on our Facebook page as well.
Yeah, but it's a good, and you get a free go bag.
Yeah, fun.
So who doesn't want free stuff?
Right.
Anyway, that reminds me, we did the Runner Park Chamber of Commerce golf tournament.
We did. That was really fun.
We manned a hole. We sponsored a hole number 14.
We were the last ones.
I know, we were way at the end. But they, it was fun. We had a lot of fun. We you know, had some snacks and stuff to give away and tell people all about what we do. And actually found a couple of interesting people that we're going to have on the radio, too.
We
always like when we go out to different events, you know, like, how can we, you know, what is it you do? We want to talk about it on the radio. You want to come on. So we always find some good, interesting people when we come to go do these events. So stay tuned for some stuff coming up.
I just wanted to mention, I just posted that link on our Facebook page, the Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. There's more information there. It's a two-part workshop to help seniors prepare for emergency situations. Yeah. Topics will cover planning, evacuation safety, pet safety, and more. And yeah, basically what you said. And then there's a link to go check it out. And so I shared that link, that whole post, and it has a link. So
perfect. And is it emergencyprep.org? I think it is what it is. Emergency prep help.
Emergency prep help. Yes. And
yeah.
It's the link to secure your spot, I think.
Perfect.
Or,
yeah.
I'm not sure if
and
it's
I don't know
if
the, what the rules
I'm
are
not
about.
Sure what that is. But first, check it out if
yeah.
you're interested.
And it says for seniors, but I don't know what exactly. You know,
yeah.
that means you can go with your mom. Bring your mom. Bring your mom.
As always, if you're looking for some events, there's Happening Local. You can check them out on Facebook. I believe they have a website, but I would just look them up on Facebook. Probably just put in Happening Local, and they have all the local events if you're looking for something to do.
Yay.
And yeah.
Okay. And then being National Wildfire Preparedness Month, we will talk sometime this month.
Yeah.
Get some. We usually have Cal Fire in once a year, so we'll see if we can book those. And you know, usually, as we get towards the summer, okay, Cal Fire, come on in. And there's a lot of interesting things I've been seeing about just all of that, preparing for wildfire, and then the FireWise for the insurance and all of that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of topics around that whole thing right now. It's very timely. So stay tuned for that. But for today, we're going to talk about, let's bring up our, let's make sure we mention, and this kind of ties in nicely with that, because we're going to talk about ADUs, but our beautiful listing on Olivet Lane, 2346 Olivet Lane. It's a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath, a little over 2414 square foot home. Has has additional room that's a dedicated office with beautiful views looking out over the vineyards and the sunset and all of that, as most of the house does. It faces west and has just sweeping views. It's really really nice. The owner's been sending us some sunset pictures, and I'm like, oh, I gotta load those in the MLS. But it's just really just a classic, huge wraparound porch.
It is my dream home
with lighting, and it's plumbed. Put some fans up there, and just it's just a classic. It's a great home. We love it. But anyway. The owner is a contractor. He put in all these extras as only a contractor owner would do. You know, it's like, oh, we need this. Let's put that. Because you can do that when you're, you know, building your own house, as long as they'll sign off on it. But anyway, and the reason it ties in nicely with this is it has an ADU. And it has, it's a permitted building. And it needs to be permitted as an ADU. It's currently not being used as that, but he has the walls in, he has the plans, he has everything, and he has a clear path to making it an ADU legally. Mm-hmm. Like I said, right now it's not being, nobody's living in it. He's using it for storage. All the walls are there for one bedroom, two other rooms, storage, office, you know, whatnot, two bathrooms, laundry room, kitchen, living room combo kind of. It's just, you know, great for mom. Bring mom over, you know, yes, or mom, buy the all of it, you know, buy the house and let your kid live out in the back, you know. So we're seeing a lot of both of that, you know, mm-hmm. that family. So this is a good tie-in for
that. Why do we have that one price?
It's listed at $1.7 million. It's on almost 3 acres. It also has RV hookups. It just has a lot.
I think it has so much. It has the...
It has solar.
It does have solar. The hookup for electric vehicles, does it have that?
It has an easy way to do that. It doesn't have, it has the, I believe he said it had the hookup or it had the wiring available for the electric hookup. But it's not there. But it has all. We've got like 2 pages of extras that are there. It's just a really nice house.
It goes well with, so it's Olivet Lane.
Olivet Lane.
And so when we put it in our phone, our phones change it to all of it.
All of it.
And it really does have all of it. It goes together.
Yes, it does. It kept doing that to me. And I'm like, well, that's kind of appropriate. Yeah,
it is.
Do voice to text, you know, and it's all, or just type it in. It just, did you mean all of it or did you mean all of it? Both.
It does have
anyway,
all of it.
We're going to take a break. Let's take a break. We come back. We're going to tell you all about what happened in April numbers, what happened in the market in April, and then looking at what happened, that kind of compared to last year, right? And then you have what happened last week. I've got what's currently going on in the market right now. So we're going to cover all of that in our next segment. So shall we take a break?
We shall.
Let's take a quick break. I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We are the Norman Home Team, and you're listening to the Real Estate Hour. We'll be right back.
The Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. They'll be right back with more on KSRO.
This is KSRO, Sonoma County's home for hard-hitting talk, local news, and variety at night and on the weekend. Like The Ramsey Show, Saturday and Sunday afternoons, 3 to 6. Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO.
Selling your home isn't just about square footage, bedrooms, or price. It's about the lifestyle. Whether it's a first home, a family estate, or a luxury retreat, every home has a story.
It's the morning light in the kitchen, the way the backyard fills up with friends and family, the quiet moments on the front porch, the life that's been lived there. When it's time to sell, that story matters. Buyers aren't just purchasing a home, they're connecting to a lifestyle. We bring your home story to life through tailored marketing, strategic exposure, and by taking the time to understand what makes your home stand out.
When you're ready to sell, we'll make sure your home story is told the right way to attract the right buyers.
Reach out to the Norman Home Team. Schedule a no-obligation consultation at normanhometeam.com. Alice and Stephanie Norman, realtors at Keller Williams Realty Wine Country and hosts of the Real Estate Hour on KSRO. DRE licenses 01720334 and 0220-9237.
Now back to the Real Estate Hour, hosted by Allison and Stephanie Norman. Now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day.
We're still
fighting with our chairs over here. Anyway, like I said, change is hard. We've been doing the Real Estate Hour for a long time now.
Well, especially you.
we came over to the new studio. When did we come to the new studio, Joe? Has it been 4 or 5?
No. Yeah.
But they just got these new chairs. I think they were here last week.
They're
very nice chairs. Don't get me wrong. Thank you for the new chairs, everybody. Everybody who made that call. They were nice chairs. Change is hard.
It's a change. We had it down on how we needed it to be adjusted, and now we're learning again.
It's different. Anyway, we actually adapt very well, and we're one of our. I can't remember it. Our thing that we realized when we were looking at kind of what do we specialize in, you know, mm-hmm. and because everyone says, oh, what kind of real estate do you specialize in? It's like the complicated ones, you know, mm-hmm. the everything that we do as a kind of a specialty is a level up of complication and strategy and things that need to be resolved and fixed. And I gave Fidelity, we have a great title officer or escrow officer over at Fidelity that I like to use when I can, and it's Tamara Perry. But it was Alice Noel for the longest time, and Tamara was her assistant. But anyway, Alice retired, and Tamara's my go-to person now, although there's a lot of great escrow people out there. And really, we don't get to decide who's going to run the title and escrow. It's the buyer. Mm-hmm. The seller, we like to have them pre-open an escrow and hope that the buyer will choose to use them. But anyway, my whole point in that, and I got way off course, but was that I just told her the other day, I'm sorry, I promise I'll bring you an easy one. Because we've cut things that have all been complicated lately. Yes. But that's why, it just justifies why we suggest you open that escrow early.
Yes, definitely.
Because the typical way to do it, and it's getting more common to pre-open an escrow, but the typical way to do it is you get an offer accepted and then the buyer opens escrow somewhere because they're paying for the bulk of it, the title insurance and all that, so they get to choose. But anyway, it's really, really beneficial to have it open up front, right? We've seen that.
The point of that is because things can come up and we can fix it ahead of time and figure out what needs to be fixed so that it doesn't come up during escrow.
And then you're delayed the buyers all forget it. I don't want to wait that long. And so they leave.
So
and
that's why we recommend it.
Anyway, yeah, so that was absolutely off topic. But at the same time, I wanted to... I forget where I was going with it, but anyway.
Real estate is one of those things that is always changing, so we're always adapting.
Yes.
And so we're used to it.
Just
we're used to change.
Just like our chairs.
Okay, so...
That's where I was going with that.
And along with changes, we're going to talk about the market.
How's the market changing? Yeah, we're going to look at... So first, let's go over the numbers as we normally do.
Yes.
What's currently active on the market, and then you can talk about what happened this last week, and then we'll look at what happened between last April and this April. Okay, so off we go. So currently, and this is only Sonoma County, but it's all of Sonoma County. It's a really broad range, but it's much better than looking at the national numbers or the Northern California numbers or the Bay Area numbers, which are also very skewed based on price points. Okay, so single family homes in Sonoma County, every single nook and cranny active right now on the market. There are 849. Median price, list price for those is $1,295,000. That 849 is up from last week's 825, and it's been really slowly and fast sometimes, inching upwards. In escrow right now, there are 332 of those, not of those, but on in addition to the active, there are 332 that are in escrow. That number's also up a little bit. We like to see when both of those numbers come up. It just means that the buyer market is keeping up with the with what's active on the market, what's coming on the market. $875,000 is what the median price of what has gone into escrow or is sitting in escrow. That again is a good indication of what we talk about, where it's really kind of two markets right now. The higher end is moving a lot slower than the lower end. Condo townhouses, there are 130 active on the market right now. There are 46 in escrow. Mobile homes, there are 87 active on the market and 36 in escrow. Multi-units, that's 2 to 4 units. We're going to talk about that later in that family compound thing. 112 active multi-unit, 2 to 4 unit properties, and then 14 in escrow. That's a much slower moving because that also includes duplex, triplex, fourplex. And but when it, if it's a family compound, like two houses on one lot, those are going very quickly. So it's we really should break those down, but I've got them together. But anyway, and then land, we've been talking about land keeps going a little over three, and then a little under 300, a little over 300 right now. We're sitting with buildable lots and land, residential, 306 available lots and acreage in Sonoma County that are buildable and residential. And then we have 28 in escrow. Again, a lot fewer in escrow than what's active on the market. That's normal. It's not doing anything different that it usually does. It just kind of keeps fluctuating a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's a look at what's active currently on the market right now. Stephanie, you have a look at what happened
last Sunday to today, this Sunday.
Awesome. So, and that's single family homes, right?
Yes, single family residential for Sonoma County. So for new listings, we have 144 with a median list price of $825,000.
That sounds high.
It does sound high, but let me look here. So last week we had 150 new listings.
Oh, it's lower. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So it has gone down, and the median list price then was $977.
Okay.
And today it's $825. So then on back on market, we have 19 price reduction, 58. That's pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
That 58.
Yeah.
What was it last week?
Yeah, the price reductions, we like to keep an eye on that because it kind of tells us, how the market's doing, but also how are we doing at pricing things, and we, the collective market, and sellers, and appropriately pricing things.
Yeah, last week it was 52, so it's pretty price reductions.
Alrighty.
In escrow, 92. Okay. Pending, 60. Sold, 79, with a median sold price of $875,000, with an average of 47 days on the market.
Yay. Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations to everybody involved everybody that either bought or sold a house, and all those involved on helping that happen.
All the agents, the title and escrow people,
yes,
the lenders.
There's so many people in the background that do so much to get those.
All of our inspectors, contractors, the plumbers that we go like last minute, hey, can you come fix this, please?
Appraisers, inspectors.
Yes, we are appraisers. We are forever indebted to you. The appraisers are such an important part. If it's a loan, it's an important part of the transaction because it can make or break a deal. It can make or break a transaction. If the appraisal comes in low, now we're renegotiating the price, or the seller's going to have to, or buyer's going to have to come in with some additional funds because, you know, the lender will only loan a certain percentage of the appraised value, not the amount that you've agreed to pay for the house.
Yeah.
So, those appraisers are important.
They really are, yeah.
So, and we always, unless they sneak it under my don't tell us they're coming, but to a vacant listing, but we always come to the appraisal, and not to pester them or bug them or bribe them or anything like that, but really to just put a face behind the transaction, behind the thing. And I know they're hired to look at the numbers only, but I think, you know, meeting them, handing them, here's the comps we found. I know you're perfectly capable of finding your own comps, but here's what we found. Use them or don't use them, but, you know, just kind of making that personal connection. I really, truly believe that helps. So we get to as many of the appraisals, yeah. whether we're on the buyer side or the seller side. And if we can't be there for whatever reason, we're leaving data on the countertop and emailing it to them and saying, here, you know. Anyway, we got to go take a break, apparently. Woo, Joe. Okay, I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We're the Norman Home Team, and you're listening to The Real Estate Hour. We're going to take a quick break.
The Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. They'll be right back with more on KSRO.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubosky. In the next few hours, the American passengers will deboard that cruise ship where the Hanta virus has been circulating. They'll then get back on a charter flight to the U.S., where they'll be observed by the National Quarantine Unit in Nebraska. Dr. Michael Osterholm has what that will look like.
Right now, you can manage the individuals who've been exposed very simply by asking them twice a day, are you experiencing any kind of a fever? And then take the temperature. Do you have any symptoms? If somebody is identified right at that point, you can put basically an N95 mask on and stop all transmission. So this is why we don't need this high-tech, containment facilities, et cetera, to monitor these people. We can monitor them very simply.
Iran has now responded through mediators to the U.S. proposal for peace, according to Iranian state media. And that three-day ceasefire between Ukraine and Russia is expected to come to an end tomorrow. This is ABC News.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following a fairly clear and cool overnight, we can look to a solid mix of sunshine and clouds to give us daytime highs in the high 70s and low 80s. Later in the evening, partly cloudy skies should leave us with overnight lows in the high 40s and low 50s. This current warming trend is expected to run through at least tomorrow. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO. Now back to the Real Estate Hour, hosted by Allison and Stephanie Norman. Now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning.
We're back.
We are back. Good morning, good morning. Okay, so, after we got the hook a minute ago, we're going to finish that up. Sorry, we get to talking sometime, and Joe has to just kind of take. I was telling me, just throw something at me. Anyway, welcome back. We are going to talk quickly. I want to go through what happened in April. As a reminder, Stephanie will put these on our Facebook page.
Yes, I will.
The Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. So you don't have to write all this down, but we do have people that say if we skip it, they say, hey, you didn't say the numbers. I'm kind of a data nerd, I guess. I find it interesting. I hope you do too, or some people do, but just kind of watching the market and seeing what's going on. So we're going to go through it real quick because we do want to get to our mom stuff. So April 2026, single family homes, there were 373 that sold. And then, so this April we just had, and then a year ago, just to give it something to compare it to, we had 331 active listings. So when people say, how's the market? And we say, it's actually better than it was. We're having a better year this year than we did last year.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can see it in the numbers. I think that's why I like looking at the numbers, because we're in it, we can feel it. And then it's justified when you look at the numbers. Yeah. You go, oh, yeah, we are feeling that. The median price for those that sold was 865 this year, 865,000 last year, 850,000. That's the median. So it just kind of fluctuates up and down. It doesn't mean your home's value went up that much, but that's the middle of the market, and your home's value probably did go up a little bit. But it just depends on where you are and what market, segment of the market you're in. Average days on the market were 49 last year, 52 this year in April. So, you know, staying pretty consistent with that, although we're definitely seeing more that sold in April this year than last year. Definitely, the condo townhouse market, again, more this year than last year. There were 43 that sold in April last year. No, this year there were 34 last year. Mobile homes in a park, there were 34 that sold this year and 30 that sold last year. Multi-unit, 2 to 4 units, that's the only one that's down. It's down by one. April, we had 11 multi-unit, 2 to 4 units that sold in April. 11 and then 12 in 2025. Land, buildable, lots and land, residential, There are 26 sold this April and 21 sold in April 2025. Wow. So, you know, it's not a huge difference, but it is significant, I think, to see that it's actually up from last year. We are feeling it. And when people ask, how's the market? We say, one, it depends on what price point you're in. But
what was that with the sold?
850,000.
What was it compared to last year?
850 is last year, 865,000 this year.
Oh, okay.
So, the median price is up a little bit. So that either means home values have gone up a little bit. What, the 331?
Yeah, what was the 330?
Sorry, she's pointing. 331, 373 single family homes sold in this April, 331 sold last April.
That's the big difference.
What, 50,
that's
almost 50
more. That's where you can
really
see it, is that those
we're selling
numbers.
More. Yes. Right. And then that difference in the median price is up a little. It's probably a combination of, you know, maybe the home value, and it could be, you really have to kind of look at more specifics for that. It's hard to look at this broad picture and say, oh, that's why. But I think maybe more higher end things sold just a little bit, that we are seeing that market soften that's the wrong way to say, because that usually means that the market's soft. But we're starting to see, I think, a little more movement in that higher end market. It's been a little tough with the higher end, with the interest rates up so high. Mm-hmm. Relatively speaking, it's not so high when we've had them up in 18%, you know, before. But, you know, sitting around 6%, they were up last year. Like, we were talking to somebody yesterday at the golf course, not yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Friday.
I've lost track of what day is it. Friday at the golf tournament, that we had like a 6.95, you know, 6.95. Percent, like almost 7%, and the numbers were that high. Then, you know, I'm all, oh, you should refinance, talk to a lender, refinance that. But it has to make sense, because there's a cost to it. Some lenders have a streamline refinance where they'll lower your interest rate without you having to have a big hit on, you know, costs for the loan and all of that. But anyway, so if you're sitting with a higher interest rate, look into, talk to your lender and see if it makes sense to refi and lower that. But anyway, yeah, it's interesting to look at the market.
It is, yeah.
And month over month, or year over year for month, we like to do that every beginning of a new month. We didn't do it last week, because we had a guest. But anyway, okay, let's move on and talk about mom. talk about mom and happy Mother's Day. And, you know, so we really wanted to... Well, what can we talk about for Mother's Day? But, you know, and we talk about it a lot, and, you know, National Women's Day, we talk about the women in real estate. And I think one reason it's so significant is, you know, when I was a teenager, you know, as short of a time ago as that, women couldn't even buy a home without a man, whether it was a dad, you know, their dad co-signing, their brother, their uncle, their husband.
It's crazy to think about how that wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago. I know, I'm not that old. But yeah, no, it was back in the 70s. I think it was like 78, you know, women could get a credit card. They can get their own home loan. I mean, it's crazy. But so, you know, now when you look at the statistics and California Association of Realtors, National Association of Realtors, a bunch of different organizations, look at the data, and women, single women, home buyers are definitely a higher percentage than men, single men. That difference gets even bigger when you're talking about first-time home buyers. And so we wanted to kind of look at, you know, why that is. And I've always said, when I've mentioned that statistic before, what comes to my mind is women have a different way. They look at housing, I think, is more an emotional thing. And I want to preface this as saying this is general based on data that we've seen. I'm not saying men don't care about the emotional side of things. Yes. I'm not saying women don't care about the numbers and the financial benefit of owning a home, because I know a lot of women who have just done amazing things with investing in real estate and really building wealth through real estate. So this isn't that.
And men that see it as
and
emotional
men things. Exactly. Vice exactly. Versa. So that's not what we're talking about, but I do think what always comes to mind when I see the number of the women that are coming into the market is two things. One, they're going, oh, well, we can do this. For one, this is a good financial decision. But I think women look at it more on the, like, not emotional side, but this stability side, and especially if they're moms, where, you know, that this is a stable place for me either to start a family or to put my kids in a safe place where we're not going to get, you know, kicked out because the seller, the owner sells the place that we're renting. You know, we're not going to end up on the street because of that. We're going to own a house. You know, and me, I love to do DIY projects and stuff when I bought my house, and I don't know if it was a rebellion type thing or a stand in my ground, I own this place, is that I tore out the carpet, I put tile in, and then I later decided I didn't like that and took that out. I painted the walls in various colors, and I go, okay, no, I don't like that either. But you can do that when you, and for me, that was awesome. But I also bought a house as a safe and stable place for my kids. I bought a house as a single, recently divorced, going through a divorce mom of four, where it was pretty much all on me. I wasn't getting child support. And when I tell, you know, I've told people that in the past, and they go, oh, well, you were probably getting child support, and you're, you know, and I'm like, no, I wasn't.
No.
In fact, we had a mediator. It was an amicable situation, but she basically said, actually, he could have you pay alimony to him, you know, and because I made, you know, anyway, we won't go there. Mom, I am absolutely not bashing him or anybody else. But anyway, my point was, I've had people say that to me, and they go, oh, well, you probably got money in the divorce, you know, or you get alimony, child support. I'm all, no, it was all me. And so, but I, as a mom, that was the thing, is I need a safe, stable, good neighborhood, good schools, place for my kids. You know, and that was, and at the time, especially when I was, what I was going through with a divorce was, I wasn't thinking about, oh, you know, what's the value of this home going to be in, you know, I wasn't thinking about that. Years later, you know, 4 or 5 years into it, you know, I had huge equity growth, and I ended up pulling some money out and buying a couple of investments. That was me thinking of the future. And that, wow, real estate can be actually a financial tool, you know. Mm-hmm. But the initial purchase was me going, okay, I need a place for my kids that's stable. That we had been through several rentals where we were there for like 6 months, and the owner, her husband passed away, and she's all, I'm sorry, but I have to sell. We had like just gotten settled, you know. Oh, no.
Yeah.
So, and so my whole point of that, I think, is that I really think that women have that in mind. And I think that's a reason why, and especially moms, I think that's a reason why more women are buying homes.
Yeah.
But I also think women are getting more savvy in the fact that this is cool, real estate can be a financial wealth building tool. When men look at, you know, it, to put on the reverse side of that, and again, not generalizing, because you know, men also are the protectors, and they want to do right for their kids and make sure they have a good place and safe and all of that. So I don't want to say, oh, they don't do that. But I think they do, just men in general will look more at the financial stability of a home than where are my kids going to, you know, can I see them from the kitchen window? Are they going to, you know, is it safe for them to walk to the park? You know, stuff like that, where I think. So anyway, that's kind of my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but again,
we're not generalizing, but so we kind of looked at this and called this segment kind of the house that mom bought, you know, that mom chose, you know, because mm-hmm. of women, and then that's going not just to single women, single men, but families, you know, mother, father, in that type of traditional family, or, you know, whatever, partners that are buying together. But I think there's usually one who's who kind of makes those decisions. And maybe they're buying, you know, and when we're working with people, we can usually tell. You can tell, even if they don't tell you, you can tell who the decision maker is.
Oh yeah.
And it's not always the mom, but a lot of times they have a big say in it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, when my parents bought their house in Terra Linda, my dad was, he worked in Carson City. We lived in Reno when I was like 2 years old, from three to five or something. And we moved to Terra Linda when I was five. But he was transferred to San Francisco, and he was here, and he bought the house without telling my, without my mom even seeing it, she was furious. She ended up loving it, and apparently he knew what she loved, you know. So it was an Eichler, big windows. They were big nature people, and he saw it and just kind of liked it. But that was, you know, in the 60s where she didn't really have any say anyway, but, or at least not, you know, the financial piece of it. But anyway. Yeah. I think, you know, so she was mad. But I think now, you know, women are doing that. So anyway, I don't know. I'm trying to be careful not to. I don't want to make the men. Am I making you mad, Joe?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Am I? Do you think did your wife have a big say in what you do? Did she do? Yeah. We love the moms.
I think she would decide it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's also not because we're not trying to put anyone down, the dads, and I'm sure there's single dads out there that see it as they're looking at it like a mom would, where they want that stability
for their kids. It's so all about the kids, and that's today's Mother's Day. On Father's Day, we'll talk about the amazing things that dads do.
All the dads out there, your turn's next month.
Yes, we promise. We'll talk about men and real estate. But I think there is, you know, our brains are wired a little differently, and that's but it's such a generalization because, you know, women are different. There's some very different types of women. They're very different types of men that have different priorities and have different thought processes
and all that.
So
there's a lot now lately, like in the past, I don't know how many years to go back, but women are getting more into businesses and getting more into just doing things on their own.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of part of it is more women are buying houses and...
Yeah, they have the money to do it because
I think a lot of it has to do with, like you said, moms are looking to the future. Like, where are my kids going to play outside? Will they be safe? The car's driving by fast. Is it a busy road?
I know. Yeah. Can I see the kids from the window somewhere?
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
exactly. That's
a big thing. Yeah. And we hear that from people like, oh, this is awesome. I could stand here in the living room and, you know, with friends or whatever. We can have a party. We can see the kids playing out in the backyard. It's a big thing to be, and I think that's a mom thing. But I also think there's dads that think that way too. Dads are very, you know, most dads are just like most. There's some moms that are not great moms, you know. So I'm just going back to the thing that we said at the beginning, that there are people that, you know, there may be somebody listening that go, well, my mom didn't care about that, you know. So there are, you know, people that are that struggle with Mother's Day, Father's Day, because they had a horrible relationship or they had a parent that didn't step up or
lost a parent or they can't be parents. So
all the things. But anyway, right now we're talking about the moms. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, and we'll shift gears a little and talk about the other kind of growing trend. It has been growing of multi-generational housing, whether it's moving mom home, into home with an adult child, getting a caregiver with some temporary housing on their lot, you know, so that they can have a caregiver, or all of those things. There's a lot of interesting trends and things,
and
but also
compounds.
Things that you need to know, because you can't just say, I'm going to do this, because there is a governing force that says, no, you can't.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about what that looks like when we come back. Let's take a quick break. I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We're the Norman Home Team. You're listening to the Real Estate Hour. We'll be right back.
The Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. They'll be right back with more on KSRO.
Does your business need advertising but cash flow is a challenge? Then contact us at the My Sonoma Deals program. It's a cashless program based on trade. Are you a restaurant, a golf course, a boutique, car wash, bowling alley, jewelry store, or florist? There are so many categories. Contact My Sonoma Deals now to find out if your business qualifies. Just go online to mysonomadeals.com and click on contact. That's mysonomadeals.com and click on contact.
Listen to Dr. Walter Tom the first Thursday of the month on KSRO's Ask the Expert series from 12:30 to 1.
Dr. Walter Tom has been voted the best cosmetic surgeon every year since 2016.
His mission is to improve patient self-confidence by enhancing their self-image with advanced technology in a warm and safe environment. Listen to podcasts of the show on KSRO.com. Just click on Ask the Expert. Tune in the first Thursday of the month for Ask the Expert with Dr. Walter Tom on KSRO.
Now back to the Real Estate Hour, hosted by Allison and Stephanie Norman. Now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're back.
Happy Sunday and happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. There's not a Mother's Day song, huh?
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Cha cha cha. We love you, Mom. What is that song? Somebody, we have to play it on the radio sometime, Joe. Not here, but not to get distracted. But this guy pulled up at the golf tournament we were sponsoring.
Oh, the Norman song.
Ponies all. Have you heard the song Norman? And I'm all, what? No, I've heard the song Allison by Elvis Costello. But there's a song and he pulled it up. It's like from the 30s or something. Yeah. And it's all Norman. Anyway, it was so funny. We're all, oh, we got to play that on the radio.
Yes.
But anyway, if you were around back then, or if you're a connoisseur of older music, maybe you know that song. I forget who it was by, but anyway, we digress, or I do anyway. Let's get back to so as part of our Mother's Day, kind of moving mom home, you know. So
yeah,
it is a big trend, and there's statistically 10,000 people. This is statistics from NAR, National Association of Realtors, from the government, you know, that looks at what's happening with people in the world. But anyway, all of that data, there's 10,000 people per day that turn 65. Is that a crazy statistic?
That is a crazy statistic.
10,000 people per day. Those are statistics that I got off from NAR. And I know. I don't know. It's what it said, you know. Fact check me. But anyway, no, that's what, and it's SR, Senior Real Estate Specialist.
I imagine that number goes down as each.
Well, it probably is. Well, it's the whole, it's the baby boomers, you know.
Yeah.
And that's expected to go, I'm trying to remember what I read, I think until 2031. So I have it somewhere written down, but anyway, right now it's written in my head, but I swear that's what it said, because I'm, yeah, but anyway, I'm just going
to
look it up.
11,000 to 400 to 11,500 Americans turn 65 every day.
Go figure. All right. And it's expected to last until 2031. So the reason I bring up that statistic is, and 65, and now that I'm getting closer to that, I'm, you know, and I've seen a lot of commercials and they go, well, keep it, there's a lady like dancing and she's all, keep in mind, I'm 60, you know, what does that mean? You know? But anyway, that 60 is not old.
No,
and neither is 65. And most 65-year-olds are not ready to move in with their kids, you know, or need to, unless they have some health issues. And some people are, you know, struggling at that age or even younger. My point is, in all of that, is that there is a trend, a growing trend, because our population is aging, of mom or dad to move back home, move in with an adult child. Mm-hmm. There's also a growing trend because of the financial constraints and everything going on in the economy of adult kids moving back home, you know. Mm-hmm. And mom, and good for our Mom's Day thing, is mom's usually, okay, fine, come on.
Yes.
Come back. There's always a space for you. Even if there's not, we'll make a space. You know, that's...
Exactly,
Anyway, but so there's this growing trend of putting an accessory dwelling unit, or buying a family compound, you know, which would be a house with an ADU, maybe a couple, maybe a junior ADU, which is part of, like, if you have a garage conversion or something like that, that's attached to the house. But there's rules around that, right? And we've talked about that. The rules are exponentially more if you're buying a country parcel, where you're going to say, well, we're going to park the RV over here. You know, this guy's going to live there. You know, this kid's going to live there. Mom can live in that. We'll build her an ADU out in the backyard. And then, you know, the other mom, the mother-in-law, can go over here and this one. And then the county's going, well, hang on a minute, you can't do all that, you know. And, you know, a lot of people just do it anyway. And then, mm-hmm. you know, if you're on a big country parcel, who knows? Who's going to know until somebody does? And it's usually a disgruntled neighbor or somebody that doesn't like you for whatever reason. They're reaching out to the county and going, well, did you know that they've got, you know, five illegal ADUs on units on that property, and now you're having to deal with all of that. So the biggest constraints that you have if you want to add an ADU is the accessory dwelling unit, second unit. There's the size. There's two different, and I forget what it is, but one is like up to 860 square feet, one is up to 1200 square feet. But the bigger constraint, if you're on a country parcel, is is the septic, you mm-hmm. know, because a septic system is built and it's the number of bedrooms, and it's based on how the saturation of the, you know, the soil and all of that stuff. So can it drain enough, you know, all that? So they say this is a 3-bedroom system based on the perk test that we did and all that. Well, you've got a 3-bedroom house already and you want to put an ADU, you know. They're all, well, I'm sorry, you can't do that. Unless you build another septic system, has to perk for it, has to be room for it. You have to have the expansion area, because a septic system not only has the system with the leach fields, but you have to have a designated space for a new leach field should that first leach field.
Yeah.
So you can't put a house where the expansion area is.
Or you can lose a bedroom in that 3-bedroom, turn it to 2-bedroom, and have a 1-bedroom.
Yeah, you abandon one of the bedrooms, take out the doorway, make it a bigger doorway, and then take out a closet. You know, take the closet doors off, put a desk in there. This is a, a nook, you know. And now it is a 2-bedroom house, and you can add in 1-bedroom ADU. You're absolutely right. With our property in Olivet, it has a mound system, which is a manufactured system where the leaching is done above ground. And it's a self-monitor. They go out there and check some things occasionally. In that, they could either abandon a bedroom, or they can add on another, you know, whatever, you know, to that mound system very easily, because it's all kind of right there contained. Mm-hmm. And then you've got a bigger septic system that'll handle that additional bedroom. So there are ways to do it, but it's important for people to understand that you can't just say, I'm going to buy a piece of land and put these houses on here. And then also the water, you have to have enough water for that. So there's that, but then there's other things like the temporary housing I mentioned. I want to make sure to mention that. So the tiny homes, if it's on wheels still, it could be trailered in, trailered out, or an RV. There are some rules with the county that allow you to have that. One of them is if you're building a house. There's another one if you're building an ADU, and you have to show that you're doing this, and then you have to show that you're no longer using it once, in order to get the finished permit on that structure. They say, okay, well, you got to get rid of that temporary thing. The other one is if you need a caregiver, you have to have a note from a doctor saying they need a caregiver, then you can have temporary housing on your property. You have to redo that every year. And then the other one is ag, like farm workers and stuff like that. But you have to be able to show then you actually have a working farm. The other thing I want to talk about before we run out of time is cottage housing developments, which is something if you go, so there's some really, really good information on the Sonoma County permit. And this is all unincorporated Sonoma County. If you're buying a piece of land, or if you are, you know, in a subdivision or whatever in a city, whether it's Sonoma or Santa Rosa, or, you know, if you're in the incorporated areas, you go by their rules. With an overlay of Sonoma County's rule, with an overlay of California rules, with an overlay of federal rules. So, but it's by city. But this is also, but tons of really, really good information on the Permit Sonoma website. They have a really, really good, I'm always very impressed with all the information they have. But cottage housing, you can have a bunch of tiny homes. They have to be on a permanent foundation. They have to have a central open space. But, you know, how cool would that be for a family, you know, adult children and mom? And I think, what was that show about us? This is us. At the end, they ended up buying like a compound. They did like a family compound all had a little house. That's what I think of when I think of this cottage housing. But so it can be tiny homes. It all has to have a central location, and the county allows it. So if you go to Permit Sonoma, there's a whole page on that, and I'll post it on Facebook. There's also one I'm going to post on Facebook. There's an ADU handbook in the Permit Sonoma page, or, you know, on their website. There's a great handbook about ADUs. But anyway, that's all we have time for. So we'll look on our Facebook page, Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. Tons of good information there. And that's all we got. That's all we got time for, Joe. I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We are the Norman Home Team, and you've been listening to the Real Estate Hour. Have a really, really good Mother's Day.
Yes.
Happy, happy Mother's Day.
You are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you, honey. Ah, sugar, sugar. You are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you.
One, two, three, four.
The preceding was a paid presentation.
This is Sonoma County's News Talk, K245DJ.